Blog Talk Radio.
The pastor cannot do it alone.
That's right.
And so it is important that the laity be trained and prepared to help the work of the church, to help in the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually, as we're taught in Ephesians chapter 4. So the laity has an important role in the church. There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Today and every day we celebrate the loving kindness of the Lord. Good afternoon, dear UFCCM friends and supporters from everywhere. This is the UFCCM Laity Outreach Broadcast, and we extend a hearty welcome to those of you who have joined us today, or those on the phone, those who may be listening on Facebook, and those who may be listening via the UFCCM website at ufccm.org. We praise God for allowing us to come together once again to connect through the medium of Blog Talk Radio. We give honor and thanks and praise to God for every opportunity, and for this opportunity in particular, to come to you on the second Saturday of each month by means of Blog Talk Radio as part of the UFCCM International Ministry. And I was just thinking earlier, we're going on our 5-year mark in this ministry, and for this we praise God. And we appreciate you, our faithful listeners, and we're so thankful for your commitment to this radio ministry. And we're so glad to have all of you with us for today's broadcast. So let us now approach the throne of grace, and our prayer today will be given by Overseer James Brooks of the Headquarters Jurisdiction, First Church of Faith, Power, and Deliverance. Overseer Brooks.
Amen. Father, we thank and praise you. We give you all glory and honor. This is truly the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad. We thank you for, Lord, allowing us to come on the air and to be able to be a blessing to many ministries and many families, and especially those that are part of the UFCCM. We thank you again, Father, for Teacher Margaret Tindall and her vision for the laity training, Bishop Haywood working alongside her. We just honor you, and we bless you, and we praise you, Lord God, and we just thank you for what you're going to do today in our lesson here today on the broadcast. We praise you, we lift you up, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. This is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We rejoice and we thank God, knowing that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Amen, amen. So,
amen.
We remind you that the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training is designed to fulfill one of the highest goals and aspirations of the Christian church, which is to equip people for works of service. And we come to you every month with these broadcasts as the Lord lays it upon our heart and leads us in which direction to go. And our objective is never about self or ego or about patting ourselves on the back and saying we're going to do a broadcast, a great broadcast. Our desire that we lay before the Lord is that we do broadcasts that will do some good for the body of Christ. And even for someone out there who may be listening who doesn't know Christ, but who may be drawn to him as we proclaim his word and teach his word in a way that is understandable and in a way that draws men and women to him. So we're very happy today that the Lord has led us kind of down another path for our broadcast today, which is a special broadcast featuring presentations by three UFCCM affiliates from our UFCCM Midwest jurisdiction. That jurisdiction, as you know, is under the leadership of Bishop William A. Strong, ably assisted by Bishop H.D. Haywood, who is also our program director. And our speakers are all members of the Bread of Life Cathedral of Hope of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and again under the leadership of Bishop H.D. Haywood and the capable Pastor Beverly Haywood. And we wanted to continue with our 2019 theme. Every year, God lays upon the heart of our prelate, our ecumenical patriarch, our board of bishops, a theme from his word that guides our conference and even our broadcast for the year. This year's theme, as I've repeated every month this year, is operating in kingdom authority. And so we wanted to continue with that theme, but we wanted to showcase and highlight some stories and testimonies from individuals who share with us how God has and is working in their lives as they operate in kingdom authority. We believe that the stories and testimonies will be informative and inspirational for each of us. And we know that God has equipped us with gifts and talents, and the purpose for him doing that, we believe, is to use them for his glory and to build up his kingdom. So I'm so excited to announce that our guests today are Elder Arletta Allen, Brother Hal Haywood, and Sister Monica Zindler. And before I bring them to you, I'd like to just tell you a little bit about each of them before they share their stories and testimonies. Let's start with Elder Arletta Allen. She received a Bachelor of Communication with a minor in business from Marion University, as well as a degree in leadership development from Moraine Park Technical College. She has worked in the financial industry for over 14 years. She is a motivational speaker, a podcaster, and involved with many local organizations, as well as serving on the board of the Bread of Life Church. And she is a life coach as well as a mentor. And she'll tell you a lot more. I'm just kind of hitting the high spots. Brother Hal T. Haywood is a native of New Orleans, and he is a former college football running back and high diver. He is a Marine veteran. He's an eighth degree karate grandmaster. He's even been an actor in a few private films, and I'd love to know more about that, as well as a deacon appointee and minister of safety at the Bread of Life Cathedral of Hope in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And one of the first things I learned about Brother Hal before I knew all of what I just told you is that he is a published author of children's books, and I'm sure we're going to learn a little bit more about that aspect of his life when he comes before us. Sister Monica Zindler received a master's degree in educational psychology from the University of Wisconsin-Madison And she is a licensed school psychologist working in the Fond du Lac school district. She's had a very interesting career. Some of her prior jobs have included a full-time volunteer in New York City, working at a residential crisis center for runaway and homeless youth under 21 years old. She's been a school psychologist in a maximum security adult male prison. She is the founder and executive director of a group home for teen moms and their babies, and currently she is serving as a deaconess in training. So this is just a little bit about our speakers. As you can evince from this, the UFCCM is just chock full of talent. We're just tipping the iceberg, and hopefully as time goes on, we will be able to showcase speakers from other jurisdictions to share with you. So right now, we're going to hear from each of our speakers, and what's going to happen is that we will Bishop Haywood and I will follow up with some questions after they all have spoken. And I want you to know this is an open mic broadcast today, so we want to encourage you, our listeners, to call in with your questions for our speakers or your comments, or if you have been blessed and inspired by hearing their stories and testimonies, and even if you have a brief testimony of your own, we would love to hear from you. Remember, the call-in number is 347-850-1405, and that you must dial 1 so that Bishop Haywood will know that you're there and can bring you into the broadcast. And he is, as always, standing by to bring you in. All right, let's go to Brother Hal T. Haywood. Good morning,
yes,
Brother
good morning.
Hal.
I am pleased to be on this radio station this morning. Glory be to God and all that he has done for all of us. First, I'd like to say all the things that you said as me being, I went to college, was in the Marine Corps, I'm an 8th-degree black belt. All the things that I've done in my life led me up to who I am today. My testimony, which will come later, as we all have testimonies to give, and we've all been through some things, they brought us to where we are today. So as far as my writing career, I write children's books because of my children and all the children that I've dealt with and worked with throughout my lifetime through martial arts, coaching football, basketball, track. And it inspired me when I was young to become a writer. Poetry, I did poetry. I went to school for small business entrepreneurship and small publishing. I was a part of a organization called BEN, Big Easy Network for Small Publishers. And that taught me the business of publishing. I also went to school for television and film, which I was able to get to know a lot about the business of film writing and filmmaking. And I went to college also for television production. So all of that, you know, I'm happy to say that it enhanced my life. I got to meet a lot of people that had a lot of different talents. And I also shared the word of God with them, which when I met Teacher Tyndall, we had a good conversation about two different things. And then I just let her know some of the things that I did in life. And along with my brother moving up here and becoming a part of his church and becoming a deacon in training, I've had the opportunity to learn a lot of things and be a part. Being close to a bishop, you get to learn a lot of things. And you get to get whooped a little bit, too, along the way. You know, by your brother as well as your pastor and your bishop, when you do wrong things or you try to slip and slide backwards. I'm fortunate to be a part of his church, and I'm happy to be his brother. And he has a lot of patience, and he's worked with me, helped me to become who I am right now. I was one of those fathers that hung in there and stayed in there, and a lot of people that know me, they know that as far as when it comes to my children, they went to church. On Sunday morning, if you slept in my house, it's like if you're in Bishop Haywood's house, you don't care how old you are, you're going to church. So I lived that, you know, over the years. I talked to my brother about stuff like that. And so I just modeled that with my children. And by being a single father, it kept me grounded. And it kept me grounded in church, because I don't know if me being a father and being grounded that way, I would have stayed into church. I'm just being honest because, you know, when you're young and you're raising children, there are a lot of obstacles out there. So that's one of the things that kept me going to church, too. I wanted to see my children have a good life. And I wanted them to see all the things that I've done, college, high school, writing books, going to school for film and video. They've been in short. I wrote some short stories that they was in. They had the opportunity to play roles in. And my martial arts career, I fought and competed against people all over the world. And some of these people that I see years later, I don't even remember them. They say, "Oh man, we remember you. You was a good fighter, man. We couldn't wait to see you or compete against you." When I was diving in college, I used to high dive, and I would hit some of those unbelievable spins and dives. And you know, I was just blessed with a certain talent that I didn't even know I had. You know, and I was kind of shy. I wouldn't brag or anything like that. I'm still kind of like that, but I see now. I read the Bible every day now, something I never did when I was younger. And I've learned a lot in this year and a half that I've been in Fond du Lac under my brother's leadership. And I have three children in college right now. One is about to graduate. I have two, and that's a blessing.
Yes. You know,
that's a blessing to have your children in college and to follow behind you. You know, I could have been one of those deadbeat dads or one of those halfway dads or one of those halfway people in their life. And so I thank God for everything that I have accomplished and every talent that I have that I've worked with and grown. And as a business person, I went to college also for business and small entrepreneurship. And, you know, I've had my own businesses, karate martial arts schools, tree business, a publishing business. And right now with my publishing company, I've helped many authors or people that would just write their story and put it on the shelf. I said, "No, you need to do something with that. I can help you." And I've helped people publish their books as well as getting into the business of becoming an author. And they had no idea of what to do. It was just a story. I said, "Just write. Just write. It doesn't have to be anything that's in order. Just write your story, and then you go back and you edit it, and then you go back and find people who have written books and, you know, just speak to those people." And those people have wrote their story. One lady, she had cancer, and her book is called Cancer Made Me Live.
Mm.
And with that book, she started living. You know, before that, she was living, but she wasn't living a godly life or a right life. But when, you know, when tragedy comes into your life, things make you see life from a different perspective, and you don't value certain things that you used to value. Stuff is stuff. A friend of mine always tell me, "That's nothing but stuff." And I never understood it until I went through something. I said, "Oh, man, I don't need all these cars, these houses, and all this stuff. It's just stuff. I can get that back, but my health and my life and my relationship with God is more important than that." So with that being said, I have two children's books that are published. I have three that are about to be published right now. One is called Hey, Let's Go to School. The other one is called The Books That Did Not Get Read. Books Have Feelings Too, and Grandpa, Who's Your Grandpa?
Wow.
And that's a genealogy book. So I'm looking forward to publishing those real soon. They're finished. All I have to do it now is just put them out there. So,
well, Brother Hal, I am just so inspired, and I know that our listeners are too. And I just thank you for sharing and for being so real and so transparent. I was particularly struck when you said, being around a man of God, you understand that there's a need for you to learn as well as to be disciplined. And that is so important because God wants us to learn, but he also chastens those whom he loves. So we're going to come back to you later on with some questions, but I just want to thank you for being so transparent and sharing your inspiring story. And now we're going to go to Sister Monica Zindler. Sister Monica, are you there?
All right. I believe she's here now. All right.
I'm here.
All right.
Good morning. Afternoon.
Good afternoon, Teacher Tindall. It is a blessed day.
Yes, it is, Sister Monica. And we're so glad that you're with us today. And we invite you to share your story.
Okay. Well, my story begins with Scripture. Genesis 2:3. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from his work. In Exodus, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Labor six, and on the seventh day we are to rest. And then in Hebrews, it says that a Sabbath rest still remains. And these scriptures have kind of haunted me throughout the years because I've never heard a teaching on what we're supposed to do with this Sabbath rest. And I've wondered all my Christian life what that was all about. Well, this past summer, I was sitting in my cabin with the fireplace lit on a 1,500-acre campground. It is located in the wilderness of northern Minnesota. I had decided to take a 40-day wilderness leadership training seminar. And during this intense training, we had one day a week, Sunday, which we took as a complete Sabbath rest. We were to spend the time with God, to not talk to each other. We didn't actually even go have a church service because all during the week we were fellowshipping and praying and having services. So on the Sabbath, we set it aside as unto the Lord. And it was, I have to say, it was the first time, and I said to God, well, now I get it. I've been asking for years, what is a Sabbath rest? And he had to show me it. It's something I feel that you have to experience before you can understand it. It can't come through words. Ideas from other people, you have to do it. And once you do this intense Sabbath rest where you just spend the time, and we had the option of fasting on that day, so I fasted on that day, and I just rested and prayed and talked to the Lord and listened to him talk back. During this intense Sabbath rest, I just found God revealing things, healing things, and transforming me. The 40 days in the wilderness, I would say, did more for me than the past 40 days of my spiritual walk with the Lord. It probably was the single most profound thing that I have done so far as a Christian. You know, in the wilderness, we hear from God. I feel that, we talk about operating in kingdom authority, and we talk about, you know, how do we do that? What do we claim? What is our position? But I do not believe that we can operate in kingdom authority if we are not intimate with the King. So how do we get to that place of deep intimacy with God? So I found for myself that this experience the sacrifice of cutting yourself off from conversation, from food, from everything except Jesus produced an incredible fruit within me. During this, I think it is important, too, for us to remember that our leaders need Sabbath rest. This past 2 years, our church has sent our leaders on a two-day excursion out in an area. Last year we did it where I don't know if they even had a phone reception. But it's important to realize that we all need time to rest. It's an order from God. He's called us to it. And if you do it, I want to tell you, it is like nothing else.
What I thought of when I was on that 40 days, what are the things that God did in me, and particularly on those Sabbath rest days? God revealed to me some unforgiveness in my heart that I had held on to. And I know some people know that I had a ministry for 20 years, and then a board president came in and fired me, and then 3 months later closed down the whole ministry. And I had still held on to that anger that I kept trying to get rid of on my own power. But in that that Sabbath rest, God took me to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus fell to the ground before his Father and cried out. And he showed me the humanness of Jesus and the need he had to cry out to his Father and to share his emotion and to share his feelings. You know, we read about Elijah. You know, after he had that great victory, he ran into the wilderness and he shared his feeling. He wanted to die, and then God sent his angels to minister to him. So throughout Scripture, we see that God really wants to get intimate with us. And the only way we can truly, truly get intimate is if we separate ourselves and we get alone with God. Oswald Chambers has this quote that I just love, and he said, "Get alone with God where no man intermingles." Wow. That is just like the most powerful time of intimacy with God, and it produces such incredible fruit. So during that Sabbath rest, I heard from God in a way I hadn't heard for a long time. I was strengthened by him. I was cleansed. I was reminded, because in this wilderness we didn't have the luxuries of life like electricity and running water. And I was reminded of our dependency on God. He revealed things to me, and he put prayer burdens on my heart. And I don't even know if I've shared this with Bishop Haywood, but I prayed for our church and myself, actually, to just get more involved with the Great Commission to go ye therefore and preach all nations. And I was just burdened by that and burdened by that. And I got back home, and the first Sunday I was home, we had a revival, and you know, an old tent revival. I prayed for a relationship to develop with a church down the road called Community Church. And I mean, I just was praying for it. I didn't have really a big reason for it. And this Saturday, we're going to be going to that church, and we're going to be providing music for a block party. So alone with God, you just hear these prayers. I just prayed them. I felt a little foolish. I didn't know why I was. But it was just really, really a powerful, intimate time with God.
Well, you know, Sister Monica, that is just so inspirational. I'm just, you know, soaking this all in about the importance of getting alone with God. And that is a key part of operating in kingdom authority, isn't it?
Yes, it really is.
It is a blessing to have people in our midst, you know, who will take those type of opportunities, because what it does, it enhances the entire body. It really does. Sister Monica also, as you know, is a, like my brother, they're both deacon in trainings, you know, at our church as well. And, you know, we're blessed to have people like them, you know, in the ministry with us. Sister Monica didn't say this, but she plays the French horn in our choir, and she sings in our choir as well.
Really?
Yeah, they let me do it.
And I tell you, I've never seen a French horn in a church. I want to hear that sometime.
In the beginning, we had a little bit of a struggle because, you know, she's a classically trained musician. And, you know, I played by ear. And so I would just say, nope. You know, she wants, well, what is the scale? What is the scale? So look, don't worry about that.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking our next 2020 UFCCM annual conference is going to be in Milwaukee next year. And since you are both from that area, and I know that you both always attend the conference, hint, hint, perhaps we will be favored with a treat with you, Monica.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm pretty sure Overseer Tyndall, you know, would not have a problem with that at all.
Well, Sister Monica, thank you so much for sharing. And this Sabbath rest in the 40 days has really inspired me to, I won't be able to go away to a campground, but there's certainly things I can do in my own home on a 40-day basis to just totally block out and have intimacy with God. And we'll talk with you a little bit more about that. Bishop Haywood, do we need to take a break?
Yes, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings. Go to UFCCM.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.
Elder Arletta, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good. Well, we're so glad that you could be with us. We know that in your career as a motivational speaker and a podcaster and all of these wonderful things that you're doing, we know that you are very, very busy. But I appreciate your letting me know that you are never too busy to be of service. And we thank you, and we invite you to share your story.
Yes, well, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be able to share my story. I think the biggest part of who I am is practicing authenticity. My journey is not one that is typical, if you will. I've had so many pitfalls. I've taken so many down spirals in my life. But instead of choosing to remain in the pit and dress it up like it's home, I chose to rise above my circumstances and my situation. And now I have an amazing opportunity to be able to travel all over the United States, sharing my story and allowing people to know how I arrived from one moment of not knowing who I was to not being ashamed to come out and share my story and be transparent and open about who I truly am. But that was only done with the help of God. He's helped me to grow over the years. I've been actually underneath the leadership of Bishop H.G. Haywood for over 19 years now. And my story was very, very unique coming into the ministry. I was 18 years old when I first originally came in, and it was a journey, so to speak, with trying to figure out who I was and trying to articulate being what I thought everyone around me wanted me to be. Upon my first meeting, Bishop Haywood, he ran up to me because I had on this very, very short skirt with thighs out and hooker boots, if you will. And I thought I looked so cute. Here comes Bishop Haywood trudging down the middle aisle with a safety pin. Like, hey, get that together. You know what? He has been like a father, a dad to me ever since, and I've just been at his feet and soaking up all the wisdom and knowledge that he has gifted me over the years, and I've been so blessed to be able to take this journey and never alone, not only because God has been there, but he appointed me a spiritual father to be there as my guide to help me through some of the pitfalls I've taken. Along the way, I've fallen into a couple different relationships as I was getting to know who I was. The first nosedive I took was becoming a teenage mom at the age of 16. I had my first child, and I was raising this baby with no guidance and, of course, no help from the father. And I was the typical stereotype of a single mom, you know, no job, no guidance, no anything, no father in the house. You know, just if you looked up dysfunctionality, my picture would be there, you know. But along the way, God just kind of straightened it all out, and he gave me the wherewithal. As I went and stepped out in faith in many different areas of my life, God just equipped me with what I needed to know in order to be able to navigate those spaces, but not only navigate them, but to stand out in those spaces. So I chose a long time ago not only to embrace who I was and my story of who and where I come from, but also to reach back and gather others that may have encountered different struggles the same as mine. Living in Fond du Lac and growing up in the city of Fond du Lac, it is a predominantly white community. And within that community, it's a lot of times hard to be in these particular spaces because you're ostracized or you're looked at as different or not accepted. So as a teenage girl, I found it very, very hard to feel like I was a part of anything. So I went in search of security, love, acceptance in all the wrong places. And because of that, that is one of the reasons why I ended up pregnant at the age of 16, but also with a deficiency of not having the love of a father there. So I longed for a relationship with my father, but I received only rejection in return, and that literally scarred me as a young girl. So now today I have established a nonprofit, which is called the Peculiar Princess Project, in which I've dedicated my time and resources to helping young girls of color ages 10 to 18 to be able to discover what it's like to develop self-confidence, self-esteem, character, and charisma. Because I think it's important for them to know that they have confidence in a future that can be offered to them, that if they just, you know, stay along the path, keep God involved, and move ahead and not get stuck on all the things that they don't have, but concentrate on what God has gifted them with, that they'll find their purpose and they'll accelerate, because that's what God did for me. That is truly my story of triumph and really offering a more positive aspect and light on things. My career as a motivational speaker came about because I recognized my purpose. I finally embraced who I am. And so now I'm just sharing with the world, this is how you too can become authentic as well. This is how you too can not be so comfortable in living inside the shadow of what you see in other people around you, but embrace who you really are. And yes, along that lines, I stumbled into my purpose. And I literally do say stumbled into, because many of us go numerous years without knowing who we truly are. We're just adapting to our environments and things around us and picking up on those things, but not really exercising who God has gifted us to be. And I found with these platforms that I'm not only allowed to be who I am, but I get a chance to watch others' transformations in the process. But nowhere do I go do I ever leave God out. Every platform that I take and every audience that I'm invited to speak to, I make it very clear that my God goes with me. And I'm just a girl who loves her God, but I have a story to tell that's going to be impactful, but my story would not be my story without my faith walk.
Praise
I would
God.
Not really be who I am today if it wasn't for God carrying me through some of those lows. I mean, I can honestly say that I would not have survived. I would not have made it had it not been for God's grace in my life. And he just continues to just rain down blessing upon blessing, you know, over my life. But it took a spell of disobedience that I fell into where I rejected wisdom and knowledge and instruction. There was many a times that my bishop just wanted to just strangle me because we don't always get it right. When you're young, you think you got everything figured out. You want to go your own way. And now all of a sudden the parents that have all wisdom, they know nothing.
You know, what's interesting about that is I listened to Elder Arletta speak, you know, and I've watched her journey, you know, up until where she is now, graduating from college, you know, having a career. I remember when she came to me and she wanted to work two jobs, you know, that wasn't really making much. And she said, well, I'm coming in to ask you, what should I do? You know, because I need, you know, I have two job offers. I think it was one at a store, one at a gas station. And she said, but it's going to keep me out of church on Sunday. So I said, well, then don't take it. She said, well, are you going to tell me not to take it? I got a baby. I said, well, what did you come ask me for? Don't come ask me anything. But that took her into working for 14 years or 15 years, the only black woman working in a major bank in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. I also remember one other time, just, you know, because it's just kind of funny to me, because she is a very strong, positive personality, and God makes you that way for a reason, you know. Yes. And I don't know where we were. I think we were in choir rehearsal or something. I don't know what it was. And she did something, and I told her.
So I said,
you know, I said, what you need to do is just humble yourself. She said, no, you need to humble yourself. So I said, okay, you know what? Get out.
Exit is a building.
Get out.
Yeah, Bishop Edwin put me out the building, the church building. He said, there's the door. You can leave now. He put me out, and Pastor Beverly had to bring me back in.
But you know what? Strong leadership is necessary because, you know, I've been doing some studying in Acts, and sometimes we don't understand the discipline of God, but if he lets things, and our leaders, but if they let things go unchecked, it's destructive to the church. And
oh, absolutely.
So I'm sure that that episode, Sister Arletta, was a great part of you coming to the realization that Bishop Haywood loved you and he was only looking out for your best interest.
Absolutely. And that's a testament to my maturity today, because now today I am not just, you know, Arletta Allen in the church. I am executive pastor Arletta Allen in the church. And so I have been able to step inside of my leadership role. And not only do I acquire and think on the lessons that I've learned from Bishop Dad, I also carry those leadership attributes. A lot of people, when they see me, they say they see Bishop Haywood, because I've literally taken on his character and the attributes of who he is. Because he's groomed me. He's poured into me. He's fed me. And you know what they say, you feed them long enough, they start to look like you. So
exactly. And I did not realize you were the executive pastor, and that is just a testimony to, even though, you know, you use the term nosedive and pitfalls, and there's a lesson for all of us that in life sometimes we do take nosedives. And sometimes we have pitfalls because we are human, but it is through the grace of God, the Holy Spirit that resides within us, that allows us to, if we have a desire and if we are obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to rise up, to stand up. I was thinking as you were speaking, I heard a speaker talk the other day about the need to be intrusive where we are excluded. And that really blessed me, because, and I hear that it throughout your testimony, Sister Arletta, even though there were nosedives and pitfalls and things that would have kept you back, through the grace of God and the power of God working in your life, you were able to be intrusive and take victory over your circumstance.
Yes, 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 yes. But absolutely nothing without the help of God. And I'm just so blessed beyond measure. Like, even today, I'm just trying to figure out ways that I can encourage other people around me. So that love that God has shown me over the years, where I felt like I was unworthy, now I find joy and liberation in sharing that love with those around me, which is why I do the social platforms, which is why I'm on Facebook each and every day with a daily dose of motivation, with a hint of spiritual sparkle for those that follow me. And I just try to bless everyone that I can come in contact with, because I know that we're not perfect, but we're yet perfecting. So towards God, we can find there where God can definitely take us there.
You know, we were going to interview these speakers, but we don't need to do that because they have set us on fire with their stories. So, listeners, please call in with your questions or your comments, or if you have been inspired by these stories, okay? And you know the call-in number, 347-850-1405, and press 1 on your phone. Well, listeners, we're back, and I will tell you, I was just sitting here reflecting. Every month, or, you know, whatever, I'm always seeking God's direction for these broadcasts. And sometimes it's like, Lord, what are we going to do? I don't know what to do. But he always gives us an idea and leads us in a direction. And this broadcast today was truly something that God laid on my heart, and it has truly been a blessing. And I know we have listeners out there who have been inspired by these stories. And listening to Brother Hal and listening to Sister Monica and Elder Arletta, these recurring themes of authenticity and transparency and being real and honoring God and using God-given gifts for his glory have come through loud and clear. And I do hope some of you will call in because we want to hear from you. But while we're waiting for Bishop Haywood to work in the screening room, I would just like to ask our speakers, what did you learn about God through your life and in your story? So any of you can just chime in.
Over the years, I've been through a lot of things. Let me say this. A lot of people are not honest about their testimony, or they're not ready to give their testimony. And a lot, through my life, a lot of times I wasn't honest about my testimonies, and I wasn't ready to give my testimonies. I'm still working on a lot of it because of a lot of things I went through in life. I've seen a lot of bad things, killings right in front of me, and people would be messing over me because of I have a good heart and I like to help people. And so, and I just let it go instead of my son say, Dad, why are you going to charge people what things are worth? Or why you let them people just, you know, stuff like that. I said, well, I'm getting blessed. God bless me. You know, if I let somebody, if I don't charge people what something is worth, I get it on another end. And I taught them, they watched me, you know, so, and I said, that's God doing that. And a lot of people that know me know that I help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I work with a lot of people. A lot of people have helped me too now, but what I've learned from God is to study his word. And because it's something I never really did until I came here. I always read the Bible, but I never really studied it. I never was around people. I would, it seemed like I knew a lot, but I didn't. And I wasn't honest, and I just be quiet and wouldn't say anything and speak on it. And now that I've been around, been here this last year and a half, I've opened up a lot. So I thank God for that. And I study his word, and there's a lot that I've read in the Bible that I never knew. And so every day I get a chance to share that, I do. I share it with my children. I send them something every day, something I really didn't do. I just talk to them, and they run off. And I don't want to hear all that. But now they're listening now, and they see the change in me. So that's what I learned from God. And listening to the other speakers on here, Pastor Aletta and Sister Monica, and I talk to them. So they may not know that I'm listening. I might joke around and stuff. They know I joke, and I'm a happy person most of the time. I look mean, though, but sometimes people have told me that. But I do listen to them. And they may not know it, but I do listen to them. So that's what I learned. And I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And plenty of times I wanted to leave here. And I wanted to leave here. And something Bishop was saying in the service that bring me back to, oh, you're not ready yet to leave. You're not ready. But God got me here learning and got me being still right now.
For a reason. God.
I think God's faithfulness is what really speaks to me. I think I was so devastated after losing my ministry, and I didn't think I'd ever be able to raise my head up, to be honest. But he set me on a mountaintop. I have a home with a prairie garden overlooking rolling hills on the edge of the Kettle Moraine. And I just think, who am I that God would provide for me? Who am I that God would be so faithful throughout my life? If we keep our eyes fixed upon him, he will be faithful in all circumstances.
He will. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful.
What I've learned from my journey with God is that he was there all the time. So many of us forget about the fact that we feel we have these spouts of loneliness, which cause us to make decisions that aren't always good for us internally or outwardly. However, God is there all the time. And I just want to offer a word of not only encouragement, but also of caution, that the world in itself will try to add so many different tags and so many different labels to you. You have to be weary and very cautious of the world trying to identify you or place a label on you to say who you are or what you are. I learned that even though at a point in my life I was homeless, and at a point in my life I was a prostitute, and at a point in my life I was a teen mom, and at a point in my life I was without a home to live in, and not a homeowner, and without a job, and all those things didn't define who I am. But my identity is in God. God gave me my purpose, and he gave me my identity, but I had the responsibility of accepting what he showed me.
Amen. That is so beautiful, Elder Arletta. And many times, you know, people try to define us by what we do, but we are who we are, not what we do. And that is just so inspirational to remember. And listeners, so critical to remember all of these things, that God is faithful and he's there with us all the time, and that we need to be willing to give our testimony anytime, any place, and anywhere. Are there any callers?
Yeah, we do have one person. Caller, you're at 980-430. Go right ahead.
Yes, I am actually a friend of Teacher Margaret's, and I have so much enjoyed today's phone call. It's really been uplifting for me. I have some health issues, and I don't get out to church anymore. So this has been truly uplifting to me, and I'm grateful for being included. And that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, my dear friend Barbara. I'm so glad to hear from you and continue to lift you in prayer. And I'm so glad to hear that you were blessed by this broadcast. And if nothing more, then I know that the Holy Spirit had us go this way to bless you and your situation and your circumstance. So you continue to look up and be blessed of the Lord.
I will do that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, I want to say to Teacher Tyndall that thank you so much, you know, for, you know, listening to God, you know, with these type of shows. Been going, how long has this show been going now, Teacher Tyndall?
I believe we're going into our fifth year, maybe our sixth. I keep losing track of time.
I do want to say that this has been quite an extreme blessing, Teacher Tyndall. Thank you so much. Those of you that are listening right now by archive, click the banner on the UFCCM.org site. And what you'll be able to do is go back and listen to some of the shows and be encouraged, you know, through the revivals and through many of the things that have been offered by our dear host, Teacher Margaret Tyndall. So I just want to encourage you to do that, because it will uplift you and inspire you.
I would like to say very quickly, Brother Hal mentioned his books. These books will be a blessing to you and your children. And if you would like to get in touch with Brother Hal, if you would email me at teachertyndall@ufccm.org, I will coordinate with Bishop Haywood and Brother Hal and pass along to you information on how you can obtain his books. Elder Arletta Allen's website is authenticallyarletta.com. It's authenticallyarletta.com, and she has a fabulous website, and she is available. I'm scheduling you, Sister Arletta, but I know she will make a time in her schedule. If you would like her to come to your church, or if you know of organization who are looking for a dynamic, God-driven motivational speaker, then please follow up with Elder Arletta Allen. And at this time, we're going to close out our broadcast. Bishop Haywood, would you please close us out in prayer? And before you do, I'm so grateful that Mother Bishop is on listening to the broadcast. She could not get in, but she didn't give up, and we were able to connect by phone. And I'm so happy that she was able to join us today. And I know that if she were able to connect, she would have probably called in with some comments. But at this point, I'm going to ask Bishop Haywood if you would close us out in prayer.
Go to UFCCM.org, you know, check back, you know, regularly. You'll be able to catch up with, you know, these speakers that you heard on today and what they may be offering to the body, but can offer you individually or your ministry individually or your family as well. Well, let us go to the throne of grace. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're yet going to do. And we ask, Lord God, that you continue to cover us, Lord God. Keep us, Lord God, safe, Lord God. Father God, as we go into our various ministries and churches on tomorrow, Lord God, we ask, Father God, that you would continue, Lord God, just to keep us. Keep us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Father, because we know that the enemy is upset. We know that he's angry. We know that he just hates everything that we're doing that will edify you. So, Lord God, give us the strength, Lord God, to carry on, to go further and further in your grace. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. God bless.
In Jesus'
and God bless
name.
All of you. All of you.
Amen.
And amen.
The pastor cannot do it alone.
That's right.
And so it is important that the laity be trained and prepared to help the work of the church, to help in the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually, as we're taught in Ephesians chapter 4. So the laity has an important role in the church. There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.